All right, everybody. This is another episode of Complimentary Pieces. I'm your host, Dylan Sage. And for this episode, we are talking about Yves Mises, a center from Baylor who's 7 foot, 235 pounds. His role in the NBA would be a true center. He isn't going to play four in spurts. This guy is a true legit center at 7 feet. A little bit about his family. His brother, Steve Mises, was a three-time All Ivy League selection at Harvard and the 2015 Ivy League Defensive Player of the Year. So there's bloodlines that are good. His brother had success at Harvard. He is going to be most likely a lottery pick. And he was the number two prospect in the state of California for this recruiting cycle. We actually talked about who number one was, and that was Jared McCain as the number one California prospect. So right now we're talking about the second. Since he's only a freshman, we don't have a long history of list of like what he's accomplished in his time in college. I mean, what we're going to talk about is the relevant part of what he's doing. So like we always do, we're going to talk offense first. And then going to defense, which he's way more toolsy as a defender, but let's go offense first. I feel like Yves' role offensively was just as a play finisher. It was really simple stuff. Get to the rim, finish it at the rim. He had 67 dunk attempts and scored 59 of them. So it was an 88.1% dunk rate, which is pretty good. And then at rim finishes, which includes dunking, he was 116 for 165 at a 70% finishing rate, and he was assisted on 68% of his dunks. His ability to score around the rim at a high clip separates himself from centers and a lot of young centers too. Like when we talked about centers in the last few years, we kind of ignored the fact that they couldn't score around the rim. Like Mark Williams, for example, didn't really show much. Or like Christian Coloco was different because he could finish around the rim. Being 7 foot and finishing around the rim should be easy, but sometimes it's really hard. And the fact that he can finish around the rim shows that it's clearly translatable that if he can finish around the rim in college, he probably can still do it in the NBA. And that's a transferable skill. You can't be in this generation of NBA without being able to score the basketball a little. It shows that he can finish around the rim at a high clip for, you know, 20 plus minutes a game. He can score around the rim and finish dunks. Translatable skill. We have a really great point guard in Scoot Henderson who can throw lobs. His catch radius around the rim is huge. He has good hands to catch it. He's going to put the ball in the rim when passed to. Another thing about him offensively is he's a very good screen setter. He sets bone-jarring screens to give his guards or his wings an advantage to the basket. And then he can roll to the rim with that strength and explosion and doesn't really fear the contact that is going to happen when he tries to dunk it. He just goes up and dunks it. And if he gets a foul, and he draws a pretty nice foul rate. So if he gets the foul, he gets the foul. But he's trying to dunk it. And another thing I noticed about his screen setting, a lot of bigs only screen for the ball handler. On-ball screen is what they call it. He goes off-ball and tries to set screens in the off-ball setting, which can create so many different pathways to scoring. We have Scoot who can see the plays develop. If Yves sets a screen on Shaden's man and allows him to have baseline or a direct cut to the basket, that's going to generate so many extra points because he's really looking to see how he can utilize the fact that he is 7 foot, 235 pounds, can set screens wide base. So every time he sets screens, people feel it. If he can generate points off of screen setting and allow the Blazers to have a better offense, I think that's awesome. I mean, I know we had Yusuf Nurkić, who was an amazing screen setter as well. There were times when Yusuf would set screens on Shaden and allow him to do cuts to the basket. And I know it was rare, and I don't think it was part of Chauncey's offense, but Blazer fans do remember seeing what happens when you have a really good screening big man. DeAndre Ayton, for how great he has been in this season, especially in the second half of the season, he isn't the best screen setter, and that isn't part of his game. Yves Mises, it is a really nice part of his game to be an epically good screen setter to create advantages for other people. Of course, he can score on his own on some roles, but having a guy that's selfless in trying to set screens to set people up is actually something that you don't see in college basketball that much, and you honestly don't see that much in NBA basketball. Another thing about his offensive game is he averaged 2.6 offensive rebounds a game. His rebounding rate was really elite at 14.4 offensive rebounding rate. So, like, there are guys that have higher rebounding rates for sure, but those are offensive rebounding is the only thing that they generate for the offense, is rebounding the ball really well. So if you look at it with actual first round rated prospects, it's super elite. Like, Jalen Duren wasn't at this level of rebounding, offensive rebounding. And one thing that teams do with Yves being such an amazing offensive rebounder is if a team utilizes drop coverage where the big drops on a pick and roll, if Yves is coming, that defender is legitimately scared to help onto the guard driving. So in this case, let's say Jacoby Walter and Yves are setting a pick and roll. They're going to let Jacoby have an easier time scoring the ball because the center is worried Yves is just going to get the offensive rebound and score. So it having a guy that has gravity, and we talk about gravity with offensive creation gravity, there's offensive gravity with how good of a rebounder someone could be. I think Yves has that ability to generate gravity of like, oh crap, we have to box him out. We have to send multiple guys to box out Yves for a rebound. And I think that is like, it's like a selfless, low maintenance thing. Not everybody can be a superstar player. You have to have players that know their roles. And I think Yves has shown that he knows his role. He's going to crash really hard for that offensive rebound. He's going to score when he's next to the rim. He's going to set screens off ball and on ball. We're not talking about a superstar. We're talking about someone who knows his role. And I think that Yves finishing, screen setting, and offensive rebounding are a great match with what the Blazers are doing. Scoot's the lead playmaker and the usage rate guy. Yves knows that his role is to set screens, rebound, and dunk. And he knows he does that really well. It's not glamorous at all to do the dirty work, the yeoman's work of on a basketball court. But he's setting his guys up. He's setting screens. He's letting them score. That's a low-maintenance player that you need to win at the highest of levels. You know, when college stars are coming in, they have to scale down. You know, we saw it with Anthony Simons. He scaled down because Damian Lillard was there. With Yves, you've already seen that he is capable of scaling down to do what is needed. It showed with Baylor. It's going to show with whatever team drafts him. And I think that having a guy that knows what he is really valuable. And he's not going to try and do, like, you know, when Mitchell Robinson every offseason shows that he has a handle. Well, it's great that he has it, but Mitchell Robinson plays the same way when he's in season. And I think that's the type of thing that you're going to see with Yves. Yeah, he might have a wicked handle, but he's going to play like a low-maintenance player that sets screens and allows his players to have an easier time on the court. Now, let's talk about defense, which is the better part of Yves as a prospect. Offense, you know, you're finishing, you're doing the yeoman's work. But as a defender, he's 7 foot, 235. And I see some sites say 6'10", some sites 6'11", some sites have 7 foot. So obviously there isn't the official measurement that's coming out. And that's just another part of the draft process where, you know, we'll find out what the size is for everybody. And, you know, we talked about on this podcast how the size really matters for those small combo guards. Well, it also matters for these big bigs. But I really do think that he's a true center. He's not going to be able to play a four in any, like, any matter. Like, he is a five. He is the center of a team. But with him being a center, he actually is an excellent mover and slider of his feet. You know, we have a guy that slides his feet, and, like, when he's motivated, the fact that he moves so well with that grown man frame, he can dominate a team. And that person I'm talking about is DeAndre Ayton. Well, I think that Eve also has that ability with the length, the agility in his movements, and the heart that he plays with defensively. He's going to be a menace in the next level. He's averaging a block and a half a game in 23 minutes a game. And I believe he's also getting half of steal as well. So two stocks per game. He's an explosive and powerful leaper where he can change what the guard is doing because of how good of a shot blocker he is. He'll change their mind. If it's an attacking guard like a Terrence Shannon Jr., him going against Yves Mises, he gets a second thought about trying it. The first time I really noticed, oh, Yves is that dude, was when they played against Duke, and this was like a nationally televised game. And he was going against Kyle Filipowski, one of the higher rated power forward center players in the NCAA. And Flip just got dominated. He got his shot blocked three times, and Yves was just able to quick time it to just put Flip in hell, basically. Like, having the ability to defend someone with so many different ways of scoring in his movement, and just being able to be like, hey, I'm athletic. You are not going to go through me. I'm strong. I am fast. I am nimble. I can jump high. He made Filipowski look like a normal dude. So he has some really long arms, and the way he gets that 0.5 steals a game is he's in the passing lanes, his arms out, ready to deflect the ball. So, you know, 1.5 blocks, half a steal a game, that's two stocks, steals plus blocks, stocks. So he's really a defensive playmaker, and Blazers need that. Blazers need somebody that will make plays on the defensive side of the ball. Obviously, offense and defense is pretty awful right now, but finding someone that can shore up a lot of things defensively is going to be a very helpful tool for the Portland Trail Blazers to have. Currently, the Blazers are running a very switchable type of defense where hard hedging on the pick and roll is really important. You see DeAndre Ayton with his movement abilities do it. I think Yves, because of how light he is on his feet and his size and his movement skills, he absolutely can do that as well. I've seen him force ball handlers to pick up the ball when he is going to switch hard, because he's terrifying. He's 7 feet, 235. This is a grown man aggressively trying to steal the ball from you. Some players will freeze and pick up the ball and either, like, just pass it immediately and say, screw that possession, we're going to try something else, or, you know, create a turnover because they're not used to a 7-foot dude that moves this well. Wherever he goes, I hope it's the Portland Trail Blazers, because I have him really high on my board. I have him like at 8 or 9. I think with other bigs, you know, Zach Edey, Kyle Filipowski, Donovan Clingan, even Alex Saar, you're going to have to do things to accommodate their defensive issues. With Donovan and Edey, it's super drop coverage. You can't have them high hedge and defend. It just does not happen. They have to be at the basket to meet them at the point of attack. Filipowski, I don't think he gives enough defensively in the interior to be the lone big man on the court. So you might have to match him like the Cleveland Cavaliers do with Jared Allen plus Evan Mobley. And Alex Saar is kind of weak right now. Yeah, he has the movement skills that is probably better than Yves, but Yves also has the strength, so he doesn't have to have a secondary big man on the court with him, or only do drop coverage as a big. He absolutely can do drop coverage. I have no issue thinking that if the team that he's drafted on runs drop coverage, he won't be excellent, because he will be excellent. And then if they are a aggressive team in blitzing or high hedging defensively, I think he can do that. And I don't think any big really can. I mean, we can talk about Jerron Holmes, but I think that there's a strength issue with him. So I think that he's the only one right this second that can fit every aspect of being a center defensively, where everyone else, you have to have a secondary or run a particular scheme for them to flourish. You put him in anything, and I think that he is going to be an effective defensive player. Let's talk about the cons, because I've talked a lot about the good stuff, the defense, the rebounding, the screen setting, the defensive versatility, the way that he can flip his hips and play defense, all good stuff. I think one of the major weaknesses that he has is he's a 61% free throw shooter. And I think that if you're trying to be a big in this league, 70 is where you're going to have to aim for as a free throw shooter, or teams can go to the Hack-a-Shaq method and get him out. Like they saw, you saw it with DeAndre Jordan, you saw it with Andre Drummond. If you can't hit free throws, it's a big deal in high leverage minutes. Anytime that they can just attack a blatant weakness like free throw shooting with a 50% shooter, they're not nearly as effective in those last 5 minutes. I remember looking at his percentages earlier in the year, and it was 51%. So he boosted it from 51 to 61% from the line. So you see the improvement, but at the same time, it's still not at the place that you want him to be as a defender. And then the second weakness is, I think he's a bad passer. His assist rate is really horrendous. But I want to dive deeper into his passing. I just don't know if he's had the opportunity to showcase that he is a better passer than what his base numbers show, because he is playing at Baylor, and schematically, when they put him in the role position going to dunk it, the best option for them is for him to attempt to score, not kick it to a corner sitter or a wing sitter ready for the ball. It's kind of like, we're drawing up this play to get Yves Misi to dunk the ball. So I don't know if the bad passing is because he's just one of the worst passers as a big man ever, or he just hasn't had the opportunity. But the fact is that he has such a poor assist number in his stat line. Like it's one of the worst I've seen. I don't trust that he is going to be a decent passer in the bigs. But you absolutely can be a good player without being an elite passer. I know a lot of teams want that center to be a offensive hub. You see it with Joker, you see it with Embiid, Sabas, Alperen Sengun. You see a lot of teams want to have a playmaking big. And if that is what you want in your team, Yves Misi probably isn't the guy that's the highest on the list for you right now. I think that would belong to Flip Kyle Filipowski. But if you want a guy that can play defense at a high level, rebound, like if you have a Scoot Henderson right there, that when he's at his apex of skill and talent and everything is going his way, you don't want a center to have the ball in their hands. You want Scoot Henderson to. So if your team building is based on center playmaking hub, nah, Yves isn't that dude. But if you're trying to make things easier for the point guard that you have or the wing player playmaker that you have, yeah, Yves going to be a great low maintenance player for you to build upon. It's just, he can't do everything. He's not a good passer. At least statistically, he is not a good passer. Sometimes he gets impatient as a defender, but, you know, a lot of really great shot blockers have had that issue with being a foul monster. So it's something that, if you look at the archetype that he is, yeah, you're probably going to have to deal with him getting some fouls because he might be too excited. But you can rep that out. I remember Jared Jackson being the biggest foul monster in the world. I no longer, like, when I do projections for his minutes, I no longer think, he might be in a foul trouble because he's reaching too much. So it's something that teams can work around with their centers that are shot blockers. Let's talk about fit for the Portland Trail Blazers. Obviously, if we draft Yves Mises either at the Blazers pick or the Warriors pick, DeAndre Ayton's long term on this team will be in question, because you're getting a very similar prospect in the way that they move, the way that they play the game, outside of, I think DA is a much better shooter. So if Yves is the question, then I would be questioning, in 2 or 3 years, is DA really going to be a member of this team, or is he going to be on another team when Yves is ready to take on the role of starting center? So obviously Yves is bad for DA. But I think what Yves can do with the other stars on the team, Scoot, Shaden, Anthony if he's on the team, Jeremy if he's on the team, they all can use somebody that can set them screens and be a person that can help them score at a more effective rate. The team makeup outside of DA would be really, really improved by having Yves Mises on this team. The one of the easiest ways to generate shots offensively is off an offensive rebound. If Yves is a better passer than what his statistics show, he can get the rebound, and either if he can dunk it, he should dunk it. But if he can pass it out to the corner and get one of these shooters an open three, I think that the added offensive rebounds and the second chance points and the potential three-pointers off of the second chance points, yeah, he fits in with the four other players outside of DA. I really like what he can do with Scoot. I think Yves Mises would be a humongous, buddy for Scoot to have to run pick and roll with, because DA really doesn't do it. DA does not set some screens. And let's talk about comps, something that interests a lot of people. I said a lot of really good centers, all in the same type of archetype. So I was trying to find lower level centers to say, like, what he could be if he isn't his most likely outcome and he isn't the highest outcome. And someone who I saw with similar statistics in college was Festus Ezeli. So let's say a very healthy Festus Ezeli. I mean, the Blazers signed him as a free agent. Yves doesn't have the injury issues, but when Festus was healthy, he was a role player on a championship level team. After a healthy Festus Ezeli, I wrote LOL. So hopefully he's a little bit better than a role-playing center. Mark Williams, Nick Claxton. I think defensively he reminds me of a Nick Claxton plus a Jalen Duren, that type of player. And then obviously offensively, you look at it's Clint Capela. It's like, that's the easiest comp in the world, and that's the comp that I'm going to use in this particular podcast. It's just so easy. Both of them, great screen setters, can finish lobs, play great defense. Like, Clint Capela is the guy. And, if we wanted to throw it back a little bit, Tyson Chandler. But I think, Tyson was 0.10 of this build of athletic five. Clint might be version two. Jalen Duren, Nick Claxton, Yves Mises might be version three. And it will always evolve as the game evolves, players evolve, and as teams are going bigger and more versatile, you need to have a center that can handle certain things defensively. So having him there is hugely important. So this podcast is brought to you by Oddshopper. Get yourself the best tools for the sports betting if you're into it. I don't want to force anybody to, purchase a service if they're not going to be into sports betting. But for me, Oddshopper gives you the best premium EV plays, so expected value. So, it gives you a better potential of making money over the long run instead of making picks with your gut. It gives you better plays to make more money. And I'm not even a hockey guy. Like I've never really been a hockey guy, but in the last week I've been hitting some of the unders in the hockey streets, and I honestly don't think I've lost a hockey pick'em this week doing, basketball, baseball, ML, well, NCAA and hockey. I like the numbers are good. It gives you expected value. It gives you the odds. It gives you a win rate. It gives you what the true odds are. It tells you where to play. Unfortunately, in Oregon, if you're doing the bet, it's only DraftKings. But if you're doing a pick'em, you can go with Underdog, which is where I go mostly. You can go better. You can go dabble, Jock Market, Prize Picks, Sleeper, Underdog. So there's different ways. And if you can shop your odds, you're going to find better odds in general. Like I'm looking at Odd Shopper currently, and they have a 5.5 rebounds for Odd Shop or for Underdog, which is where I go. But if I went with somewhere else, it might be 4 rebounds. So it's giving yourself a better chance of making the most money. Check out Odd Shopper. I've been using their services for a very long time. I'm a humongous fan of what they do in the DFS and the prop betting and sports betting streets. So stochastic is the main thing if you're into DFS. If you are, I'll definitely give you a code so you could help me out and I can help you out. But right now, the show is brought to you by Odd Shopper. So thank you, Odd Shopper. I really appreciate what they're doing and helping me create content. So, and it's completely free. This will never, complimentary pieces will never be, paid to access. It's always going to be free. So thank you to Odd Shopper. Thank you to Stokastic. Thank you to you for listening to a bunch of draft content. I know right now it is tough to be a Blazers fan, but there are some players that can be hugely effective for this team. There are no stars, but there are some very elite complimentary players. I would say that Yves Mises isn't tier one because I put that as like elite complimentary player, but I think he's tier two as a starting level center in the game. So thank you so much for listening. I appreciate it. We out of here. Peace.